Welcome to the Shiur Targum and Parshas Miketz. The Shiur this evening is sponsored by Anita Band, marking the yard side of her late husband, Eli Band. Shama Shlevin Aliyah, Shasimosh Nachas Ruach, and the Torah Mitzvahs and Maisim Tovim that the family is involved in. We left off yesterday, Perek Mem Aleph, Pasuk Mem Hei, where Paro gives a name to Yosef, Tzofnas Paneach. We saw some discussion yesterday in the Mefarshim whether that's whether Tzofnas Paneach is Hebrew, whether it's Egyptian, whether it's an actual name, whether it means something. The Targum Onkelos is of the position that Tzofnas Paneach means the one who understands hidden things. And then continuing that pasuk, Vayitein lo es osnas bas potifera kohen on leisha. Paro gave a wife to Yosef, Osnas, the daughter of Potiphera, the Kohen of On. The Targum Yonasan ben Uziel over here indicates who was this Osnas. V'yahavle yas Osnas di'aleidas dina l'shchem v'rabisa itas Potiphera Rabba de Tonis. So this Osnas was actually from the family of Yaakov Avinu. She was a daughter born to Dina after Dina had been raped by Shechem. She made her way to Mitzrayim. Again, the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel doesn't explain how. Other Midrashim explain how she ended up in Mitzrayim. And she was raised as a child, essentially adopted by the wife of Potiphera. So in other words, Potiphera wasn't her biological father. Her biological father was actually Shechem. Her biological mother was actually Dina. And essentially, she was the niece of Yosef HaTzadik, whom he was marrying. Right? That's the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel adds into our understanding of what's going on over here. There's a word in the pasuk that's striking. That's the word kohen. Right? So Potiphera, the father-in-law of Yosef, or the stepfather-in-law of Yosef, according to the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel, was the Kohen of On. The simple translation of that is that he was some kind of idolatrous priest. He was a Kohen. I mean, what kind of Kohen was he? He wasn't a Kohen who got the first Aliyah. You know, he was an idolatrous priest. And, you know, an idolatrous priest, it sounds like, of some Avodah Zarah named On. So, you know, again, if that's the case, that's the case. But, you know, there's something a little bit disturbing, I guess, about the notion that the father-in-law of Yosef HaTzadik is an idolatrous priest. So here the Targum Yonasan, the Targum Onkelos, gives us the following very, very subtle translation. It says the Onkelos via Havle, Paro gave to Yosef, Yos Osnas Bas Potiphera, Rabba de on leitu. Translates the word Kohen not as a priest, but Rabba, the head official of. We sometimes find in Tanakh that the word Kohen doesn't mean anything religious necessarily. The pasuk says in Shmuel, "Ubnei David Kohanim Lashem." The children of David served as Kohanim to Hashem. That's obviously not meant in the sense in which we use the term Kohen today. David came from Shevet Yehuda. His children were not Kohanim of the Beis HaMikdash. It means that they were important individuals. They were high-ranking officials. You know, a Kohen can mean somebody of high rank. So as the Targum Onkelos tells us over here, Potiphera, the father-in-law of Yosef, was Rabba de On. He was the high-ranking official, let's say the mayor of the city of On. And he understands that On is the name of a city, as opposed to the name of an Avodah Zarah, something of that nature, which, again, you know, I guess makes us feel a little bit better, you know, that that his father-in-law wasn't a person who was an Oved Avodah Zarah. Just as an aside, nothing to do with the Targum Onkelos itself, but who was this Potiphera? So Rashi writes, who Potiphar? Potiphera is this one and the same with Potiphar, who played such an important role in last week's Sedra. The Rashbam, in contrast, writes, "Ein ze potifar lefi apshat." On the level of pshat, it's true. Chazal darshan that potifera and potifar are one and the same, but says the Rashbam, on the level of pshat, potifar is potifar, potifera is potifera. They're not, you know, close but no cigar. They have very similar names, but they're not exactly. They're not in fact the same person. So writes the Rashbam. Again, the Targumim don't necessarily take a position on this issue. You know, who was Potiphar? Who was Potiphera? Again, the Targumukulus just translates it the way that we mentioned it. Okay, so Yosef now begins his role, and then Pasuk Mem Zayin. We have a pasuk which is just very, very difficult to translate. Just the simple translation of the pasuk is very, very difficult. Vatas ha'aretz b'sheva shnei hasava likmotzim. The land made during the 7 years of plenty to kmotzim. What does that mean? Right, the land made during the 7 years of plenty for kmotzim. What are kmotzim? So a kometz is a fistful, a handful. So the land made fistfuls during the 7 years of plenty. What does that mean exactly? To start with the Rashbam over here, the Rashbam writes that Vatas Ha'oretz means Hotsia Harbe Tvua. Right? The land produced. The word Vatas means it made, it produced. The land made during the 7 years of plenty, likmotzim, fistfuls. What's fistfuls? Writes the Rashbam, Bikona echad male komets shibolim. In one stalk of grain, there was a fistful of edible, of edible grain, of edible wheat. You know, normally when there's a stalk of wheat that grows, there's a very small germ of the wheat that's actually usable that can actually be made into food. There's a lot of stuff in the stalk that's not really edible, that's not really usable, but the germ of the wheat is relatively small. Here, there was a fistful of usable wheat that came up with every stalk. And the point that the Pasuk is trying to tell us, says the Rashbam, is that the plenty during the 7 years of plenty was off the charts. In other words, it wasn't simply that, yeah, they had a lot of food during the 7 years. It was like bumper crops like you never saw before in your life. In other words, you know, what normally would have been, you know, wheat the size of a peanut, all of a sudden is wheat the size of a fist. You know? So that's what the Pasuk says, Vatasa aris b'shneva shnei hasava likmatzim. Right? It's describing the extent of the plenty that was taking place during that period of time. The Targum Onkelos translates the Pasuk entirely differently. Entirely differently. He writes as follows. Uchenoshu dairei ara. The inhabitants of the land gathered b'shnashnei siva during the 7 years of plenty, ibura la'otzrid. They gathered the grain into storehouses. A totally, totally different meaning of the pasuk according to the Targum Onkelos. According to the Rashbam, the pasuk is talking about what the land did. According to the Targum Onkelos, the Pasuk is talking about what the inhabitants of the land did. In other words, they were busy during these 7 years gathering and storing all the grain that they possibly could as per Yosef's instructions for the 7 years of famine that would follow. Where does the Targum get this interpretation? In other words, the word vata'as, which means it made or it produced, the Targum Onkelos is explaining, means uknoshu, they gather. The word ha'aretz, which means the land, the Targum Onkelos says means the inhabitants of the land. Okay, so that we sometimes find. You know, you talk about the land, you know, sometimes it means the people as opposed to the land itself. So for instance, a little bit later on in the same chapter, the very end of the chapter, Pasuk Nun Zayin, V'chol ha'aretz ba'u Mitzrayma. Literally, all of the land came to Egypt, right, in order to buy the food that had been stored up. It doesn't mean that the land you know, picked up and went to Egypt. It means the inhabitants of all of the different countries came to Egypt. That's the way the Unkelus translates it. V'chol dairei ara asu l'Mitzrayim. All of the inhabitants of the land came down to Mitzrayim. Okay, good. So the word ha'aretz over here, according to the Unkelus, means the inhabitants of the land. Fine. But how do you get from vata'as, it made, or they made, to they gathered? And how do you get from the word likmotzim, which again seems to be related to the word fistfuls, how do you get from that to storages? Right? Now, the Pasuk, according to the Targum Unkelus, means during the 7 years of plenty, the people gathered all of the excess wheat into storehouses. Where did you get the word storehouses? Where does that relate to the word kmatzim over here? So, regarding that last question, the Ramban writes as follows. Unkelus Omar la Otsrin. Unkelus translates the word kmatzim as storehouses. Ki achafiros ho asuyos ba'aretz la otsar l'dvar b'cherim yikaru kmatzim. Because a hole which is made in the ground in order to store stuff, in other words, what the Ramban is asking us to envision over here is not granaries like they have in upstate New York, you know, where they have these big silos and whatnot. The storage places where they took the wheat and they stored it were basically holes in the ground. You know, they dug holes in the ground. I guess it was cool. You know, it didn't get overly hot. It didn't get overly cold. You know, they were able to maintain the temperature that way. And they put the excess grain into these holes in the ground. A hole in the ground that's made for storage is referred to as kmotzim, or holes are referred to as kmotzim in that sense. Where else do we find that word? So here the Ramban suggests something very interesting. He says that the gimel and the kuf are sometimes interchangeable with one another. If you think about it, the letter in English, the letter G and the letter K, actually, you wouldn't think of it offhand, but the pronunciation of a G and a K is actually very similar to one another, right? Just to take one example, Soloveitchik is usually spelled with a kuf at the end, but I've seen it spelled with a gimel at the end. Soloveitchik, you know, the G, the K, you know, sometimes they're very similar to one another. The word for hole in Hebrew, one of the words for hole in Hebrew, is gumatz. Gimel vav mem tzadi. So gumatz and kometz are similar. So that's the Targum, that's the Ramban writes, kmotzim in this pasuk really means holes. The whole, all of the people in the land made during these 7 years holes, meaning they took the grain and they brought them into the storage holes where they would hold them during the course of these 7 years until the years of famine would come. We're still left with the question. Okay, so let's accept that from the Ramban. We're still left with trying to explain the verb vata'as. It made, it produced. They made, they produced. Right? So how do you get from that to they stored, you know, which is the way the Targum Unkelus translates it. So perhaps the Targum Unkelus means to say that during these 7 years, they made the holes. They dug the holes. So obviously, what was the point of digging the holes? The point of digging the holes was to store the grain there. So he's translating not the exact translation of the pasuk, but rather he's conveying the sense of the pasuk. During these 7 years, they, you know, they stored the grain in these. They dug the holes in order to store the grain in the storehouses. I think it's also possible to interpret that vata'as in this context means they did what needed to be done. Right? In other words, the inhabitants of the land made preparations. They did what needed to be done. What needed to be done? They needed to store the grain. So, again, translating more of the sense of the pasuk than the actual literal translation of the pasuk, Targum Unkelus says, well, it means, you know, that they gathered all of the grain into these storehouses that they had prepared during this period of time. Okay, heading a little bit further into the parsha. So we find that the sons of Yaakov Avinu, obviously, you know, they're experiencing famine. They get sent down by Yaakov Avinu to Mitzrayim to buy food. And eventually they make their way in front of Yosef. Right? The Pasuk says in Membeis, Pasuk Vav, V'Yosef hu ha-shalit al ha-aretz, Yosef was the ruler over the land, hu ha-mashpir l'chalam ha-aretz, he was the one who was distributing the food to everyone. V'yavo ache Yosef ha-ishtachvelu ha-payim artza. So all of the brothers of Yosef came and they prostrated themselves before Yosef. The Ramban over here raises the following issue. And again, I think when we think of this story as kids, we're not as attuned to this issue. But if you think of the story, once you hit adulthood, you know, the obvious nature of this kasha of the Ramban is striking. Enenu roi shia shalit al ha'aretz mishta l'melech Mitzrayim. Mocher l'chol echad so tarkov min ha'tvuah. Says the Ramban, what are you telling me? Yosef was personally involved in distributing the food to everyone who came to Mitzrayim? What an inefficient system, right? I mean, imagine the vice president of the country is the guy you go to hand you your social security check in your hand. What's that? Right. Now, it could be we're getting there, I don't know. But it's a rather inefficient way to run anything. Yosef was appointed to be second in command in Mitzrayim. So every person who comes to Mitzrayim, you know, to buy a sack of food has to go to the viceroy, the second in command of all of Mitzrayim, to have an interview. That's the best usage of Yosef's talents, that he's interviewing every person who comes to Mitzrayim to buy food. It seems bizarre.
Also, I think from what you just said, there seems to be another contradiction. If Yosef was storing all the excess food, what if it seemed that the individuals themselves were making holes in the ground, and they were storing their own excess food?
Right, so either it was they who were storing, or it was an organized effort, you know, that was supervised in some kind of way. But again, coming back to here, Yosef personally is overseeing this process? That seems like a terrible way, a terrible system.
You do that with the brothers when they came down.
Right. But in other words, like, so every single person who's coming to Mitzrayim goes and sees the viceroy? What's that?
Maybe only foreigners in the interest of national security.
Okay, but it was all foreigners who were coming in. That's what's coming in.
The Mitzvim were coming in.
What's that?
The Mitzvim were coming in. They sold everything they had.
Okay, but it says, V'chol ha'aretz ba'u Mitzrayim. Everybody.
For what Hashem wanted, that the brothers would then be
back. I understand, but in other words, in setting up this system, if you were Paro, this would be a rather stupid system to set up. You know, everybody has to go see the vice president. Right. I mean, this is an administrative nightmare. So the Yonasan ben Uziel writes as follows. Again, we'll share this briefly, and then that will break for tonight. This is on Pasuk Vav. Yosef hu dahav shalit al ara. This is Yonasan ben Uziel. Yosef ruled over the land. V'yada di achoi oli lemizban. He knew that eventually his brothers were going to come down to buy grain. So mani natorin betare karta. So he set up guards at the gates of the city. Lemichtov called the aleo biyomahu shmei v'shem avui. And these guards, you know, those the TSA at the entrance to the gates of Mitzrayim would write down everyone who was coming in, their name and their father's name. Which actually is very reasonable. Again, if you want to control the flow of foreigners coming into the country, you know, so everybody has to give their passport, they write down their name. And basically, says the Yonasan ben Uziel, Yosef gave instructions to the guards, when such and such people come, bring those people to me. So that already you can begin to understand. That makes sense. In other words, to imagine that every single person is personally coming and, you know, interacting with Yosef, it's hard to imagine that such a system could actually function, right? So that's the Yonasan ben Uziel is addressing this kasha of the Ramban, you know, before the Ramban. How could it be that Yosef is personally involved in interacting with every person there? Okay, Rabbi Chanan ben Akasha Omer, Ratzah Kodesh Baruch Hu Lezakos.